This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hockey's a different sport from the NBA. You can't compare the cultures because of the way the game is played. You can step on an NBA floor and go through the emotions. You can't do that in hockey. You have to play it with passion. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to leave it on the ice. That's what fans are investing in. So for us, when we charge $1,500 for a ticket, fans know what they're getting. Cale Makar, the best defenseman in the world, wasn't in the lineup for this game. This was the most viewed game that we've had in years. It's not just based on the skill and talent. It's based on the pride, honor, playing for the guy next to you. I got a question for the NBA players. What the hell are you playing for?
PK Subban, who apparently did not see last year's NHL All-Star game. Easy.
Right.
You have one international playing for your country tournament and another Team Shaq, Team Chuck.
Yeah.
The NHL's having a moment here, and that's great, but easy. I've seen lots of hockey games played where it did not look like there was a lot of pride being played for on the ice. It happens.
I do think there is a major difference between the sports. One of them has a problem. The other, I don't think, really does. I just don't think this is... This tournament versus the NBA All-Star game has been used to make that point. And I don't even think that point is wrong. It's just, this isn't why it's wrong. The reason the NBA has a problem right now that the commissioner is now flirting with 10-minute quarters instead of 12, and they've considered reducing the regular season, and they changed MVP this year, where, hey, if you don't play 60 games, you're not eligible to win these individual awards anymore. Why? Because they're fighting load management constantly.
Yeah.
Because why? The stars in the NBA, kind of like I'm an NBA fan, kind of like me, do not care about the regular season. Doesn't matter. And some of that is the playoff format and who's actually can win it, but no one cares about the regular season. And in hockey, people care about the regular season. The play, you never, like, he's mentioning how, like, in that commentary, like, players in the NHL, they'll play hurt. They won't play injured. There's a difference between hurt and injured. They'll play hurt. NBA, they won't play hurt. Like, there are points to be made about that that are correct. And maybe that's why they're feeling like there's a problem to be fixed in the NBA that doesn't exist in the NHL. Players care more about the regular season in one sport versus the other. I don't know why this All-Star break was being used, though, as, like, the exhibit A to why that's a problem. It's just the flags. That's it. Did we see LeBron and Steph go crazy at the Olympics like 5 months ago? They cared about that tournament. They weren't getting paid.
They sure did.
Why? Because you slapped the flag on their chest. That's it. That's all it is.
That's right. And those guys grew up watching the Dream Team the same way, maybe even a little older than that, but the same way that these guys, these American kids, are talking about watching the movie Miracle. They weren't alive for it. They watch a movie about it.
And
they, you know, slap the flag on their chest. That's it. you know, hockey's having a moment here. And I just feel like listening to P.K. Subban there, I'm reminded of the scene in Animal House where Bluto's like, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And the guy goes, Germans? Like, nah, forget it. He's rolling. Like, Subban's rolling here. You can't play without passion. Like, eh. And a lot of NHL games that get played without passion. When you get to the playoffs, passion comes out. And in the NBA, are there NBA games that don't have passion? Sure. Load management, lots of stuff like that. The game where Luka and LeBron both sit, like, congratulations for spending your money. These guys aren't playing. But when it gets to crunch time, those guys are going to play and be their best. So, whatever. Congratulations to hockey. They found this tournament. It's great. And when it's over, you know, Minnesota-Detroit is on Saturday. Here's the big question. Does the NHL get any sort of real, honest momentum from this? Because my answer is probably a no.
They might get the thing that happens in, like, the World Cup. Like, after the FIFA World Cup, there's a trend that, like, the next weekend of, it could be anything. It could be MLS. It could be Premier League. There's always a ratings boost, like, the next week. Because why? You got the fever. I'm into soccer now because, oh, yep, that was an awesome World Cup. Let me tune in. So you'll tune in, you'll watch one game and go, oh, this isn't as good. And then, you know, so that's going to happen to, I'm sure there will be casual hockey fans that maybe don't watch regular season hockey. Maybe they're like me with the NBA. I don't really watch a regular season NBA, but I do watch the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a hockey fan like that out there that's going, you know what? I will watch Minnesota-Detroit on Saturday. And they're going to watch Minnesota-Detroit on Saturday. Like, all right, now you want to watch Columbus and Seattle on Thursday? Like, yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, it'll wear off. The buzz will wear off after like a week, I think.
803-0550. On the game tonight, if you want it, give us a ring. We got Paul Hamilton coming up at 8:30. Mike Zeisberger from Boston at 9. Lots to get to on this Four Nations final, which has been great. There's no doubt about it. It's been great. What do you do after it? You know, we'll see. To Lee in Buffalo. Lee, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Great. Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, I was calling about, about what you guys were saying about the salary cap and Bean's comments after the after the end of season press conference, I should say. There was an interesting article on the website from ESPN from, I forgot the guy's name, Dan something.
Graziano, maybe?
Maybe. And the article went saying that Bean needs to push the button, and he was stressing on the article where Von Miller, I believe I heard Von Miller myself say that he would wants to come back regardless of the situation. And the article goes, release Von Miller, free up that cap room, sign him to a cheaper deal, take that first round draft pick and that fifth round draft pick, turn that fifth round into a first round draft pick if they make the Super Bowl. And I thought it was a very interesting article that...
Yeah. Conditional trade.
Right, and with Greg Rousseau involved. And I guess Bean just needs to make that pitch if he's planning on doing it. I don't know if he is.
Yeah. The thing about Vaughn will be interesting because they can save some money by moving on from Vaughn. They can also save money by restructuring / extending. There are ways to do it. Vaughn was their highest-rated pass rusher by PFF last year.
Yeah.
Should you just cut that guy or should you spend a little bit more and push cap hits into the future because you might get a couple plays? Can he bring it in the playoffs next year? Maybe not. He's old. There's no doubt about that. But does he give you more than whoever you might bring in instead? I'm not convinced Vaughn has to go. And the fact that he wants to be here, and if they like him as a leader or as a guy that's a Hall of Famer,
yeah.
They just kept Micah Hyde on the practice squad to help guys along the way, right? The process.
Right.
To me, if they like Vaughn and what he does for the guys in the room, and he says, I want to come back until my key card doesn't work, then I don't think he is a slam dunk to leave. If they can make a move to save money and keep him here, I think that's fine, personally.
But it's got to be at a lower number.
And maybe he'll do that.
Than what he's at right now.
He redid his contract a year ago. And maybe he'll just do something different again.
If you can get a Bulldog's idea of sending Rousseau to Cleveland for Miles Garrett, I mean, I'm going to need another defensive end, right? So maybe keeping Vaughn on a cheaper deal gets even more impactful at that point.
Yeah.
He's 35, 36. He's going to his age 36 season.
Yep.
I mean, even if he was really good by a lot of metrics last year. Pass rush win rate, pressures, 6 sacks even for him in 13 games. Like, if I told fans 6 sacks in 13 games for Von Miller going into the year, I bet a lot would have taken that. Because, remember, the year before was nothing. Like, he didn't even have a tackle the previous season. I mean, there's no guarantee that's going to hold up even. That he'll be a 6-sack guy with good underlying numbers going forward. Like, the wheels fall off naturally, let alone a guy that's been dealt with a major knee injury just 2 years ago. So I don't feel like I have to keep him. Like, it would have to be really, really cheap. Really cheap. Or else I might want to think, you know, go get a 1-year deal on, talking about going all in on guys. Like, even if they got a Garrett or a Max Crosby, like, is it a better idea to sign Von Miller and get him down to like $8 million, or should I just pay 10 and get Khalil Mack?
Well, the difference would be, would you rather have, if the difference is,
like, how many better ideas, I'm saying, are there in free agency for even like an older guy than what I've got right now in Von?
That's what I mean. If the difference is $2 million, then you just keep on. If it's, I save 10 by getting rid of him or save, no, sorry. Yeah. 10 by getting rid of him and 8 to restructure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm spending 2, and the rest of it goes into next year. Like, this kind of gets to our bigger conversation about the way the Bills should be running the cap, the way the Eagles have. They should be running up the most insane credit card bill for 2030 as possible. It's 100% what they should do. They should be ridiculed for being irresponsible about it. They should sign all 3 Eagles defensive free agents and trade for Garrett. Enough is enough.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, that's where if Khalil Mack was going to be more expensive, like, I'd rather have a more expensive version of Von, I'm saying.
Yep. Okay.
Well, in addition and to that, what, like, a Garrett move or a Crosby move, if they could do it.
You've got the access to this. Check out Khalil Mack's percentage of snaps. That's another way to put this. Like, Von's very situational. I think Mack is playing all 3 downs. I think he still is.
And that's right. We talked about Chase Young for a minute yesterday. Wouldn't Young kind of be the same thing? Like, wouldn't you expect him to play more situations? Then Von really is very specialized at this point. Which is not to say he's unusable. Like, Joe Marino throughout the season, like, would tell us about Von. Like, he's actually doing better in run defense than I would have thought.
Yeah,
But that doesn't mean he's a guy you want out there against Derrick Henry. There was a reason he played 9 snaps against the Ravens early in the season. Khalil Mack on the year for the Chargers was playing 61% of the snaps.
It's a big number. Like, that would that lead the Bills defensive linemen 61%?
In most years. I think Rousseau was really high last year, but in a lot of years that would have been top for the Bills.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Going to get a couple of inches of snow today. Some during the day, yeah. 2 to 4 in that neighborhood today as winter continues its death grip on us for a couple more weeks. If you want to join us on the Bills or on the game tonight, the Four Nations Final, U.S. and Canada. Paul in Buffalo is up. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's game night. This is going to be a great one. Joe, I'm actually wearing the exact same jersey as you right now, the 2011 World Juniors. I did not have mine modded with the number. But, man, that was a great tourney. We did such a great job hosting that. There was just Canadians everywhere at every game, but it was such a fun time. It was a giant party for a week and a half. Tonight, I want Chris Kreider in the lineup. He has a history of scoring big goals in big games. But regardless of whether Kreider's there, this game is about Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, and Connor Hellebuyck. Those are our 3 players that can match just about anybody not named McDavid. And certainly Connor Hellebuyck is in a field of his own in the goalposts. And they have got to carry us. This is their night. They're going to do it. Austin Matthews is going to hammer that one-timer in today. He's going to be the shutdown defensive guy he always is. And if we don't win, there's no reason for anyone to get their short pants in a bunch. We have had a great tournament. Guys, have a good one.
Thanks, Paul. Matthews, like, listen, this isn't exactly the kind of tournament that generates a million hot takes. Maybe if it was the Olympics, it would. And they haven't played that many games. Matthews hasn't scored. Have you really noticed him?
Not as much as I've noticed Eichel. I'll say that. Like, of their 2, I mean, they really have 3 elite centers. Hughes is the other one. He's playing wing, though. Like, Eichel's been the one who stood out the most. I don't think Matthews has been bad. I think he got McDavid a lot in the Canada game, which could, you know, obviously you might not have as good a success if you have the puck, you know, 40% of the time as opposed to when you normally have it like 70% of the time. Yeah, I'd like to see more though from him. I'd like a goal tonight. He's dealing with something too, right? He said he's a nagging injury that's new from something. It's different than what he had in Toronto earlier in the year. So maybe there's an injury thing there too. But that's the good thing about like a superstar team is when one of your superstars is not scoring, you've got seven other guys that are capable of doing it. And by the way, on this jersey, this jersey sometimes annoys me. I'm currently wearing the Ryan Miller Team USA jersey.
Okay.
Like the white one with the USA that goes diagonal, right? Parents bought this for me for Christmas after that Olympics. The Sabres were hosting the World Juniors around the same time. And the U.S. World Junior team that year wore a patch with the U.S. shield. And inside the U.S. shield, there's the Sabre logo, and it says 2011 on it. The Olympic team didn't wear that patch. But that's how the Sabres sold the Miller jerseys.
Mm.
So it is the World Junior Team jersey with Miller on the back, not the Olympic jersey. So but the only difference is there is this Sabre logo inside this crest.
So you have kind of this hybrid.
Yes.
I mean, fake is not right. It's just, it's...
No, it's not fake.
No, it's just, it's the way the Sabres sold it.
It's more, which it's more just incorrect.
Right.
It's the Olympic jersey, but they added a Sabre logo in it. Is all it is.
Josh is wearing a Joe Pavelski Team USA.
This is the World Cup of Hockey Team USA jersey. Right. Yeah,
the team that didn't win a game.
I remembered on Friday of last week to wear my USA jersey, and I forgot, or whatever game it would have been, and I forgot.
It was Friday going into Saturday.
But I am wearing a U.S. Open shirt, so that U.S. Open it counts. I won points.
It's not even red, white, and blue.
It's got red, white, and blue right there.
It's gray. It's a gray shirt.
With red, white, and a tiny bit of blue.
Okay.
And it says U.S. on it.
If you walk into a bar, people don't assume you're there for this game tonight. If you wear that into the bar tonight, they don't know that you're there for the game. Me and Josh walk in. They know why we're there.
Hey, the last winner of the U.S. Open is Bryson DeChambeau. He's American. Does that count for something?
There you go.
If you had like an Amherst jersey or something that you wore in tonight, that would work, I think, better.
I need to see. I have the Miracle Team USA jersey, Mike Ramsey. And then I also think I have the 96
World Cup. That was the World Cup in 96.
Okay, the 98. I think I have the 98 US Olympic jersey. Which by the way,
okay.
I think yesterday was the anniversary of Keith Tkachuk, Jeremy Roenick, and all those guys that trashed the hotel rooms after they lost in 1998.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the jersey I have.
Yeah.
Dark blue, maybe not.
I've been told lots of stories about that incident. Wait, so I'm looking at it right now. It's like the one I'm looking at is a white jersey, blue shoulders.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
have there's a circle in the middle that the US logo is in, and it is like,
so what I have
very
is
roller hockey looking.
Very much so. I have a dark blue jersey that has that same US where the bottom of the S is the flag. Kind of unfurling.
Okay.
I have that somewhere. I'll see if I can bust it out tonight.
Maybe it's 2002 or something.
Yeah. Tim and Charlotte. Hey, Tim. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you? I've been wearing a red, white, and blue American flag button down, fitted, no sleeves.
All right. Like it.
You guys got my. I'm calling about one thing and you're talking about another and got me thinking and laughing. And first of all, there's a little bit of snow falling in Charlotte, so I turned on Odyssey and was tuned into to y'all listening to the sports talk this morning, and I just want to say appreciate it and thanks for taking the call, and a little bit of nostalgia with, like I said, a few snowflakes falling. I wanted to, this may be crazy, and you guys may have talked about this a million times over the past, you know, week or so. Like I said, I don't get a chance to listen that often. But has there been any talk about possibility of getting rid of AJ and Vaughn? I would hate to lose Rousseau, although I would love, you know, the possibility of the return. Any of those that have been floated lately, I think would be a welcome addition to the team. I think Khalil Mack
was hoping, you know, I read something long ago when he got drafted that he was thinking maybe he could come to Buffalo, and he was excited about that, or stay in Buffalo.
Yep.
That would have been really cool. So there's that. And then as far as the hockey game tonight, it's funny because I was listening to you guys talk earlier, and I'm thinking, you know, the only casual fan that would be watching any type of tournament, like the Four Nations tournament, if they had a women's hockey Four Nations tournament, that would be the closest thing to the NHL that a casual fan would go. Switching from women's, you know, high-level women's hockey to a standard NHL game, that's what I'm so frustrated with the NHL, and I've been a lifelong fan. I mean, I'm 51 years old now. I grew up in Buffalo, but have you know, moved, 30 years ago. I make it back to the Bills game once a year. Anyways, long story short, I miss what the NHL was, and I know that's a long time ago, but what it has turned into today is reminiscent of a lot of those high-level women's hockey games. And I hate to joke about it, but still. So anyways, you guys got me thinking. I wanted to call and say hello, say thank you for taking the call, throw those thoughts out there, and if you have anything you can share on any AJ discussions or trades like that.
Yeah.
I hate to see Rousseau go. And thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thanks, Tim. I don't know that Rousseau will go. He's on a fifth-year option. Could he be a trade piece? He could.
Yeah.
Epinesa, whatever, he's under contract. He's not that expensive. Khalil Mack. So, as you mentioned, Khalil Mack. I might...
I was just before you get into that, okay. Epinesa, I did look up. If they post June 1 they would save six of his $7 million. And then next year, they'd only be on the hook for two. So they basically can get, if they wanted and they thought, hey, we could take that money and get a better edge rusher,
yeah,
they can basically wipe
but
the Epinesa contract almost
clean. But you can't do it
clean.
Until after June 1st, because that's when you can use that money, and these edge rushers are going to be.
Or you can save like $3.5 million by just cutting them now.
So, all right. You want to make Khalil Mack your favorite plan in 5 seconds?
Sure.
Here are the top-rated...
Over Myles Garrett?
Yeah, just maybe. The top five graded defensive ends per Pro Football Focus last year. Number one, Aiden Hutchinson. Number two, Myles Garrett. Number three, T.J. Watt. Number four, Nick Bosa. Number five, Khalil Mack. He's free. That's it. You don't have to
He costs a contract, but...
Right.
But you don't have to trade anything.
You don't trade for him. Yeah. He's just free. Max Crosby, where does he come in? Max Crosby would have to trade for. He is 26th rated defensive end. But if you just want to do PFF, where was Vaughn?
He was higher, right?
11th.
Yeah. The difference is...
Where's Rousseau? 15. Khalil right. Mack is a very good idea. And
He is.
You know, he's older.
He's 33.
But he's free.
And actually, his birthday is on Saturday, so this will be his age 34 season.
Okay.
That's the different. See, the thing about that is it's kind of more like Vaughn then, right? Like
it is.
I'm hoping I get two good years out of it.
But you don't.
If I get Garrett or I get Crosby, I'm thinking I'm getting four elite seasons, and then maybe I can get two good ones after
but
that.
This is the ultimate. Sir, what do you want? Do you want to pay the draft picks to get a guy that's 29, or do you not want to pay the draft picks and get a guy that's 33? You can't get the guy that's 29 without paying the price.
That's a good debate. I would take the guy. Get rid of the picks.
Okay,
Take the younger guy.
I'll take both,
both,
or sign Josh Sweat.
Hey, you want to cut Epinesa and save your $4 million, sign Khalil Mack, and then I can trade Rousseau and your picks to get Garrett, and then cut Epinesa, take that money, and give it to Khalil Mack. There you go.
Look at this.
Brand new defensive line.
We got all the answers. 803-0550 to join us. Paul Hamilton on the other side. We're going to launch into a lot of previews of the Four Nations. Paul coming up next on the Sabres' return to practice and Lindy's bold strategy to get them to the postseason that he talked about yesterday. Also coming up 9 o'clock, Mike Zeisberger, NHL.com. He is in Boston covering the final, which comes your way tonight. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. Experience brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. And as we get ready for tonight's game, U.S. Canada will also dip back into the Sabres, who return Saturday for a game against the Rangers. They are back to practicing. Paul joining us. Paul, you excited for tonight's game? You got a plan already? You know, seriously, people are asking, right? What's everybody doing for the game? So are you locked in? You excited?
Yeah, my plan is to turn the TV on, and I can't go to a bar or whatever because, you know, I got to write about it afterwards and everything. And I found, like, if I go to Super Bowl parties or go watch a Bills game with other people, the game's over, and I'm like, what did I just see? I don't even remember. You know, I'm not locked in like I have to be if I need to be, as I said, writing something about it afterwards. Or so I'm kind of more like Howard. I just kind of buckle down in the bunker and watch the game.
You two can hunker down together. Give him a call. He might not be up to anything.
Or
you know?
Just show up. Give the old pop-in. Just show
up. With Howard, if you just show up with pizza, the door's going to be open.
There you go. Well, Paul, Tage Thompson has made the trip to Boston. Like, there's a slight chance he could play. It's not a lot of practice. You know, the injury stuff that kind of cropped up. Charlie McAvoy is out for this game. And the way that this has all played out, it might be the only thing that was a little bit goofy about this entire tournament, how these teams were supposed to be able to deal with the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, why not have a taxi squad or something like that? You know, something that you're right, this has been goofy. I mean, Harley for Team Canada showed up, and he stood in full equipment in the hallway between the locker room and the ice watching the morning skate. And then when the players were done, he went on the ice by himself, you know, and he wound up playing. And I also have read the flu bug is going through Team USA. So there is a chance that could sideline somebody too, like it did McCarr, which allowed Harley to play. So Tage Thompson might be doing that. He might be standing there in the hallway watching the morning skate, and when the skate's over, he'll go out there and take his time on the ice just in case that he is in the lineup.
How tough do you think that would be for him? I'm sure he would be excited and thrilled to get the chance, but if that were to happen, like maybe two guys late, Paul, just decide, like, I just admit it's killing me, like the flu, whatever it might be, and then Thompson, without practicing with the team, has got to enter the lineup in what might be like the most intense game he's ever played in his life.
Yeah, and it's not like all these players would be foreign to him. Of course, Jack Eichel, he would know. You know, he was also in the U.S. program. I'm looking at the under 18 team. There's Tage Thompson. There's Austin Matthews. There's Matthew Tkachuk. There is Charlie McAvoy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys, and Jake Oettinger. So a lot of guys who are on Team USA right now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have been teammates of Tage Thompson back. Now, he was 16 years old when this happened. But you know what? You get into the locker room and the guys are there and it seems like no time has passed. It's like, yeah, and it's almost like old times. So he is familiar with some of these guys.
Paul Hamilton with us. Paul, on the roster rules, that's kind of been a storyline or a talking point the last day or so, maybe the whole tournament. Because I guess the GMs in early November, like, they asked to be allowed to take more players with them, and they were told no. And then there's kind of been just this chaotic you know, who's going? Is Quinn Hughes going or is he not allowed? Is Harley going to go and is he allowed to practice? Like, it just kind of feels like the whole roster juggling has been a circus. And I wonder if the NHL maybe regrets not letting more players go.
Well, they can tweak it, you know, for the next time. There is going to be a next time. So you live and learn. And one thing, Elliot Friedman was talking about, you know, the Boston Bruins are furious with the way Team USA handled McAvoy. And according to Elliot, the team doctors are Bill Guerin's team doctors from the Minnesota Wild. And he said that is one thing that it is going to change next time. It'll be independent doctors that will be in charge of the teams and not NHL doctors. So, but apparently, according to Elliot, the Boston Bruins are just livid at the way McAvoy was handled.
It was weird that that would make sense now, because they were the ones that started giving the injury updates on McAvoy once he was in the hospital. So maybe there was a point where the Bruins said, all right, we're taking it for he's in the hospital now with like an infection where we're taking over this situation. It seems like maybe that happened.
Yeah, it did happen. Absolutely. So because I think it was once he got to the hospital, it was rather obvious he wasn't going to be playing any more games from Team USA in this particular tournament.
Paul Hamilton. Paul, of course, tonight's game will wrap the tournament and then back to life in the NHL. The league kicks up really quickly. I'm kind of a bit surprised that it's right back to it on Saturday after a Thursday night final, but hey, here we are. And I read your piece, Lindy Ruff, laying out a bold strategy, or at least the scope of what they have to do to try and get back in the race. I appreciate that they did the math on it. You know, Paul, it's not exactly likely, but whatever. Like, they're not sugarcoating it. They did the math on exactly what they have to do.
He did, and he said this is not going to be easy. Let's not kid ourselves here. You know, to be able to play 700 hockey, he basically has broken it down into five-game segments, and it's 10 points in each five games available, and he said they need to get seven in the five-game segments. There's 28 games left. And he goes, then when we get to the final three games, he goes, we'll be at 84 points if we're successful, and then you got to win the last three, and that gets you to 90. And maybe 90 probably is wishing to get you in anyway, because the last couple of years, 91 and the year before, 92 got you in. But there was also a year, it might have been the year before that, where the Washington Capitals were the last place team and they got in with 100. So you just never know where that's going to be. But I, you know, that's really the best he can come up with as far as, I mean, you can't ask him to do any more. There are only two teams in the NHL right now that play at a 700 points percentage, which is what they're going to have to do. But he has set that goal for these team, for his team. All right, this is what we have to do, and how do we do it? Well, we got to take between 0.4 and 0.5 off our goals against because it's too high. So that has to come down. He goes, the goals four is fine. And he goes, we have to be diligent on the special teams. And we have to have guys who have pride in what they're doing out there to get that job done and set goals for the special teams too. He goes, that's the only way that this is going to work as far as the plan that he's laid down for them.
If they are to even come close to that goal, Paul, individuals, do you feel like – Cousins is one that I think of right away, and maybe Quinn, but there are a couple guys that like you're not going to come near that goal unless you get more from, you know, certain individuals that play at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be goals that we're talking about here, because the Sabres are, you know, they're pretty good at in goals for when you look at them within the league. But they're pretty bad in goals against. I believe they're 29th in goals against. So it's just they're not getting the big saves all the time when they need the big saves. Let me put it this way: they're not getting the big saves from Luukkonen that they got last year in his last 36 games that he played, where he had some of the best numbers in the NHL. He's been okay. I mean, he's had games where he has provided the big saves. He's had some good games. It just hasn't been the same Luukkonen that we saw from January 1st last year. But they have to be more diligent in the way they defend. They have to be better at special teams, especially the power play. That can't be as inconsistent as it's been if they plan on scoring goals. I mean, Alex Tuch has 19 goals. He hasn't scored in the power play. Now, he's been on both units. He has been on the first unit. Lately, he's been on the second unit. But still, you would think Alex Tuch would have a power play goal.
All right. I think he's a penalty kill goal, or even a couple, maybe.
He's three. He's
a power play.
Yeah.
Or three. Right.
But, and he's been a good player for them. I mean, who steals the puck better than Alex Tuch does to create opportunities? And he's not that plus minus is the end all be all, but he's plus 15, which is five better than their next guy, which is McLeod. So he's played good hockey. It just on the power play hasn't gone well for him.
Paul Hamilton. Paul, before I let you go, the hockey world also mourns the loss of a legend today. Mike Lang, legendary Pittsburgh Penguins play-by-play man, has passed away. Their RJ, right? Like their guy that's been there forever, an iconic voice of the sport.
Yeah, and just a great man. I so enjoyed when the Sabres were playing the Penguins to be able to interact with him. He was fun to listen to, fun to talk to, a great ambassador for hockey, and he will be missed not only by people in Pittsburgh, but people outside of Pittsburgh. I mean, you guys have heard his calls and the unique way he called games, and he'll be missed in Pittsburgh, and he'll be missed all over people who enjoyed hockey.
Yeah, a character of the game. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Enjoy the game tonight. Sabres back to work on Saturday, and Team USA and Team Canada play tonight from Boston. 803-0550, pick of the week, and then we check in Mike Zeisberger from Boston, who's covering the tournament for NHL.com. He'll join us at 9 o'clock here on WGR. Pick of the week. It's going to be an easy one here. Pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. And the pick of the week is a 2016 Audi A8 in mint condition. All the luxury and comfort and performance you would expect from an Audi at an unbeatable price. Check it out now at riverfrontautosales.com or call my friends Marty Sr., Marty Jr. at 886-1626. The pick of the week is the Four Nations Final, U.S. and Canada, tonight from Boston.
Can I give you a second runner-up to the pick of the week?
All right.
Sunday at 4, the Boston Steel.
Yes.
Boston Fleet and the New York Sirens.
Yeah, the PWHL at KeyBank Center.
Yes, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, very good, very good. Looked into that, but we have a birthday party to go to. Otherwise, we were going to go.
Nice.
Wanted to go to that.
Where's the birthday party?
I don't know. I'm just going to go where I'm told. I'm just going to get in the car. Where am I going?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. No idea. Yeah. Pick of the week.
Who's Arsenal play this week? I got to watch that too.
Arsenal plays West Ham.
Let's go Hammers? What are they?
West Ham Hammers.
I need to get better at all of them. Like, I know most of, not even most, I know, like, the big clubs like in the Premier League, like, what their nicknames are, because they don't really use them.
Right. Like, what's Nottingham
Forest? Like, Wolverhampton.
Wolves.
Well, it's really Wanderers.
That's true.
They get called the Wolves because it's Wolverhampton, their actual nickname is the Wanderers. Isn't, someone's the Hats, right, or the...
Hatters? Luton.
The Hatters. Who's the Hatters?
Luton?
Oh, they're not even
Luton
here
Luton Town,
anymore.
The Hatters.
Mm-hmm. In the Premier League anymore. But, like, what's Newcastle? I don't know.
Magpies.
Huh?
Right? The Magpies.
But what? What is
the Magpies?
That?
It's a
what
bird.
Is that? It's a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you know the Liverpool bird isn't a real bird?
The liver bird.
It's a liver bird. It's like a mythical bird.
So your full list here. I'll just go through them for the Arsenal is the Gunners.
The Gunners.
Villa.
Yeah.
The Villains. It's a good one. Also the Lions. Bournemouth is the Cherries.
Wait, the Villains and the Lions?
Apparently.
That can't. Yep. Doesn't seem fair.
Bournemouth is the Cherries. Brentford Bees. Brighthove Albion. Brighton and Hove Albion is the Seagulls. Chelsea is the Blues. You knew that one. Crystal Palace.
Who's the Doves? Isn't somebody the Doves?
Everton's maybe the Toffees. Ipswich Town is the Tractor Boys.
No way.
New favorite team.
The Tractor Boys. Fulham, the Cottagers, I'm seeing here.
Yep.
The Tractor Boys. Obviously, Leicester, the Foxes. Can't miss that.
This list is... I mean, I didn't know this. they list Tottenham as the Lily Whites, and everyone knows they're, of course, the Spurs.
We might be looking at the same list. Manchester City, the Citizens.
Yeah, I don't think anybody uses it. This is the same. This must be the same
the
person.
Citizens.
This is the same person that wrote a Pro Football Reference that Tom Brady's nickname is the Pharaoh. Like, sure it is.
Right.
Right. Okay. I'm sure one person ever in the history of the world has called him the Pharaoh.
Nottingham Forest, the Tricky Trees.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Mike Zeisberger, NHL.com from Boston, as we continue on this tournament. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.